While most musicians may have turned off their mic by the time they're 82, Leonard Cohen has turned out an album some say is his best in decades. It's called You Want It Darker. And if you're wondering if it lives up to the name, we'll just have a listen.
It's au revoir, my once so bright, my fallen star. I'm running late, they'll close the bar. I used to play one mean guitar. I guess I'm just somebody who has given up on the me and you. I'm not alone, I've met a few traveling light like we used to do.
He's just the coolest. Traveling Light from Leonard Cohen's new album, You Want It Darker. His son, Adam Cohen, produced the record. And I spoke with Adam about what he thinks his father Leonard's ultimate legacy will be and just what was it like to finally work with Dad. You're an accomplished musician. You've released a lot of albums on your own. Yeah, this is the very first time that you've collaborated with your father, with Leonard Cohen. I should ask, why now?
Why? Well, I'd simply never been invited to participate in such high circles before.
It wasn't intentional.
Yeah, as I like to tell people, I really do feel like I started as a coffee boy on this project, you know, and I find it rather beautiful and somewhat inexplicable, my quick ascension through the ranks to actually being a producer on the record. And what a delicious and unexpected turn of events.
What led to that ascension?
Well, who's to question our fearless leader? You know, my dad, decided that I had the capacity and pedigree and credentials to do it, and who am I to dispute? It turns out that I believe he was right. I can't believe it, but I really do believe that this is his best record in decades. And that's saying a lot because I believe his records have been excellent. But this one has this this kind of quality, this remarkable quality that only some records have. And one can't attribute these things to anyone. I certainly wouldn't dare attribute it to just myself. There has to be some divine intervention. I mean, I really do believe that we were riding some mysterious wind in the grace of the occasion. And man, what a record.
But in addition to that mysterious wind that you mentioned, I also read that you had to encourage your dad, or you did encourage your father in the making of this record. Can you elaborate on that?
I think every artist, even those at the very summit of the craft, like my old man, experience the crippling, the sometimes crippling doubt about what they're doing. In his case, it wasn't about insecurity. It was about whether or not he had the energy and the wherewithal to stick with it. He was in great discomfort and acute physical discomfort. And to get him to be focused and to recognize the quality of the work and to see the completion, it did take a little bit of magic, a little bit of convincing. But really, this is a man who is in possession of more vision than anybody I know, certainly more than me. And my encouragement was rather perfunctory, given his ability to actually see what he was talking about. This is an album that has incredible authority and generosity and power. And we knew we were onto something.
I think that's so nice to hear that, you know, I think to many people, your father and his music is the top, is the summit to which, you know, artists try to reach. And to hear that even he needs provocation, whether it's due to insecurity or whether it's due to physical ailments, it's almost nice to hear that even the greatest among us sometimes still need encouragement.
I got to tell you one thing in particular that he told me that I thought was so wonderful and interesting. And you can, you know, snip this out of this interview if you care to, or you include it, of course.
Sure.
But the word was self-indulgent. There were times at which we were working and not getting the intended results, which is, of course, often the case in a creative process.
Yeah.
And the where he went that I found so interesting was, is this self-indulgent? And I said, well, what do you mean, Dad? Is this self-indulgent, he would ask, for us to be fighting this hard in this veil of tears in this world when there's poverty and injustice and, you know, bigger issues at hand, for us to be fighting so mightily with song, with this sort of seemingly irrelevant thing? And I said, you know, of course I would immediately say, Dad, you know, first of all, whatever's left of the music business is definitely including you. You have a constituency of faithful and hungry constituency that is going to devour and love what you're serving up. And self-indulgent or not, these offerings have a kind of generosity and stirring power that it is your duty to wrestle with until we pin it to the ground. And of course he agreed, and you know, there's nothing I can tell my dad that he doesn't know or hasn't heard already. But these are the kinds of conversations we were occasionally having when sometimes the process would slow down and the next station on the ride wasn't clear.
I think when people think about making a Leonard Cohen record, they think about walking into some kind of temple and beaded curtains and some kind of, you know, divine intervention, and it happens on top of a mountain that takes 3.5 weeks to climb. But really, records have to be made, and they're made in studios, and they're made by people. I'm wondering, for people listening to this right now, if you could lift back the curtain a little bit and tell me a little bit about what those first few sessions in the studio with your father were like.
We set up... I set up a little studio in his living room. I established him in a medical chair.
A medical chair.
A medical chair, you know, one that has many articulating, pivoting kind of angles and swiveling. You could sleep in it. You could practically stand in it. You can eat in it. Mm-hmm. It's very comfortable. I put a beautiful mic in front of him, we immediately launched into listening to pieces of material that were pre-existing and in various stages of repair or disrepair, and took inventory of the kind of voyage we wanted to go on. And I would literally, like a first week intern, had a manila pad and took notes, you know, like a little intern. Judiciously trying to remember and make notes for myself as to what is it that the old man wanted. And my duty was to serve his vision as faithfully as I possibly could. And the great advantage that I had over everybody else that has worked with him, in my estimation, was not my particular skill set, but rather this intimate understanding of what he hates.
What does he hate?
It's a long list of things, but knowing what he hates was really the cheat that I had. I knew all the things I couldn't possibly bring to him, all of the styles, sounds, and shapes that were to be avoided at all cost. And this saved me, trimmed a tremendous amount of fat. And if I was to give you an anecdote in the studio, one of my favorite ones was when this old man who was truly in pain and discomfort would at some intervals get out of his medical chair and dance in front of the speakers, you know, and sometimes we'd put on a song and listen to it on repeat, just like teenagers with the help of medical marijuana. This was, there were moments of, as I have said, you know, real joy, jubilance, and laughter. And, of course, this was accompanied by the seriousness that you'd expect with Leonard Cohen and the poignancy of his lyrics. I think the reason it was so successful is because there was a smaller disparity between what was conceptual and what was manifest. We actually got there.
Adam, you mentioned two contrasting things there, pain and discomfort and joy and jubilation.
I don't think that those are that incongruous.
You don't think so?
No, I really don't. I think that in states of pain and discomfort, I mean, what do you seek with more energy and more clarity than joy and jubilance?
Is that what you saw happen in this record through your father's pain and discomfort?
I wouldn't characterize the record as itself being jubilant or joyous, but I would definitely characterize, from my vantage point, the kind of energy that we put into it, mm-hmm. the connection. You know, it's very rare historically for a son to be as useful as I was to my father.
You think so?
You know? I think in Occidental cultures, especially modern contemporary Occidental cultures, the idea of a son, of a child being really useful to their parent is more and more rare, and that makes it delicious. And there was a component to that that was at play. You know, I'm this little guy who was drawn and seduced into a line of work, and who speaks in a certain kind of thoughtful and deliberate way. Many people might think, oh, this is a guy who's parroting his father or who has unimaginatively gone into the same line of work. Well, to be useful and to have the actual capacity to help this man who's inspired so many, of course, me no less than anyone or more, was joyous and jubilant. Now, the character of the work is a different story.
Right. Adam, you spent your whole life with this man. This is the man you've known since you were born. But as you mentioned, this was a rare opportunity to A, have great use, but also to collaborate. And I'm curious, was there anything that surprised you about your father's creative process?
You know, you hear about this lugubrious man, this devotional man, this monastic training, you know. And as you described, what people might imagine his his lair is.
Yes, and, three-piece and suits then, everywhere. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, well, he does actually go to work in a three-piece suit. And even in the living room, even in his discomfort and immobilized state, he was still impeccably dressed and often even wearing a fedora in his living room. This is a guy who you've heard takes 7, 5, 12 years to write a song. Well, he really is that guy. I mean, he was working on lyrics while we were doing vocals. He would change lyrics as well. And these are songs that are sometimes 10, 12 years old. His devotion to exacting the highest expression of his of what he intended, you know, the devotion to his craft. It's paranormal.
Adam, I want to play a little bit from the record. This is a little bit of the title track. This is "You Want It Darker" from Leonard Cohen. Sinfully small bit of the song "You Want It Darker" from Leonard Cohen's new album of the same name. My name's Tom Power. I'm speaking with musician Adam Cohen. He produced Leonard's record and is also his son. Adam, what do you feel when you listen to that?
I guess enormous pride and a sense that there's real promise. People might actually listen to this and get excited about it the way I grew up getting excited about music. You know, I think that there's, everyone recognizes this kind of a malaise in the music business.
You think so?
And I think there is. And I think there's the cultural value of music has declined. I think that's because the narrative in music and in culture has shifted elsewhere. But here is this guy holding up his little wild bouquet. Here is this guy who's invested in his work and I don't know, has a kind of is rising above slogans, and I'm filled with a sense of hope that people are going to listen to this and recognize how wonderful, how triumphant this guy's last act has been. You know, as I've said to many people, life is this play with a kind of badly written third act, except for Leonard Cohen.
Adam, people listening to this right now, you know, myself included, my father passed a few years ago, and he was frail towards the end of his life. And you're listening to this right now, you might have a parent who's entering, and I love the way you said this earlier, the third act of their life. Adam, just personally, how are you managing that challenge?
I can't say it's easy. At times, it pulls on one's heartstrings. There's an instructional quality to his presence that he's always had, but that is magnified by the dignity of the man at this stage of his life. And to see his offering and the devotion to his offering through his discomfort, through his acute discomfort, has humbled everybody in his midst. And of course, I'm very privileged to be one of them.
Adam, I need to let you go soon. However, I could talk to you for the rest of the day, and I really do appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today, especially about things that may be a bit challenging. I'm curious to get your own take on the lasting legacy of your father. You know, a lot of the conversation that's going on around this album, whether it's warranted or not, is the question about whether this may be the last Leonard Cohen record, or whether it's the final chapter in his incredible portfolio. You have such a unique perspective. Years from now, what do you think the ultimate legacy of Leonard Cohen is going to be?
I'm going to go further than years from now. I'm going to go to 200 years from now.
Sure.
People will be singing his songs and studying his lyrics. I believe that he's the last of his kind. I believe that unlike so many from that golden era from which he comes, he's not a nostalgia act. They are. This guy is still speaking from his particular vantage point. He is speaking about things that are meaningful to him at his particular rung in life. And he will be leaving a giant void when he leaves us.
Adam, thank you so much. And when you're speaking to him, pass on our absolute best from the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, will you?
Oh, it will be my pleasure to do so, and I'll have a smile on his face to hear it.
Adam, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you.
I'm still not entirely sure why I said Canadian Broadcasting Corporation instead of CBC, but either way, you know, speaking with Adam Cohen was honestly a little bit scary because, you know, you're worried when you're speaking to someone about their parent that you're either going to get too personal because, you know, the relationship you feel with your parent isn't exactly always easy to talk about. It doesn't matter whether your parent is a prominent teacher or a firefighter or just like a member of your community. You can feel going through life that you're always so-and-so's son or just so-and-so's daughter. You don't have your own identity. Now imagine how bad it must be if you're Leonard Cohen's son. But you get the feeling that he has a real deep love for his father, as you would a son, but you also hear an admiration for his music, for his legacy. Yeah, it's really beautiful to hear him talk about his dad, this guy who's an icon to us, but at the end of the day, is just dad to him. That was me with Adam Cohen, Leonard Cohen's son, also the producer of his dad's brand new record, You Want It Darker. And most recently, Leonard's been reassuring people that the end is not just around the corner. In fact, he says he intends to, quote, live forever.